see Shay in this game.
VO style.
So they read.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your homie, Big T.
I'm Miss Amy.
And you are officially tapped in and tuned in to the hottest podcast that brings you the latest in music, news, and fashion, and the only show that keeps our ears to the streets.
While you grind and shine.
Hey, we are officially back in the building. A little late night special tonight.
Hey.
It's 9 p.m. That time change got us messed up.
I know. We forgot to set our clocks back.
So, but we here, y'all. We are fresh in the building. Brand new episode of Mud Talk right now, and we have a special guest in the building, man. We have none other than Mr. Jonte Williams himself, Toledo's own. Listening here in Toledo, and for those of you are listening across the world, internationally and globally, he is a big deal here in the city. I can't even get my words right, but we're gonna tap in with him because we got a whole lot to talk about. But Mr. Jonte, how you feeling?
I feel great. What's up, everybody?
Thank
you guys for having me here.
Absolutely. And we are feeling good. Thank you for taking the time out on your Friday night to be with us, to turn up with us, to have some fun. And we're celebrating because it is our 50th episode today.
Hey. 50.
50 episodes. Here we go. I hit the right button
so
that
much
time.
I almost knocked my drink over. It would not be the first time.
Not in this on this show.
Podcast. Yes, no. Not in this studio.
Yes, but in our former studio. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're celebrating 50 episodes today, man. We have a lot that we're going to talk about, a lot that we're going to celebrate. We're going to take a look back at some of our favorite moments and talk about our favorite moments from the show. But how's everybody feeling on this Friday night? How y'all feeling?
I feel good.
Yeah. I feel good.
Did you feel good before the tequila or
I don't
after?
Drink tequila. You know, I'm going to jail if I got tequila.
Yeah, we don't need you doing that.
I was feeling good before the tequila.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. What about you, Jonte?
I'm cool. I'm cross-faded. I feel great. Oh. I feel great.
Good night.
That is a good night. You said cross-faded. Yes. I love that. But yeah, man, we're going to tap in with Jonte in just a minute. But y'all know we cannot start the show without doing what's called Big T with the
T.
Yes, and this is where I give y'all all of the celebrity gossip news because they give me job security because they are always doing something. And we got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about the Grammys because Grammy nominations came out. And the Grammys are coming up in February, and we're going to start with Kendrick Lamar. So the 2025 Grammy nominations were announced actually today, and Kendrick Lamar is Not Like Us is getting some of the biggest honors for the Grammys. So of course he's getting it for They Not Like Us, the Drake disc. He got 5 nominations. So he got Song and Record of the Year, Best Rap Song and Performance, and Best Video of the Year for Not Like Us. Not Like Us was the number one song on Billboard's Hot Rap Songs chart for 21 weeks. It was the number one song on the rap charts.
Damn.
And I know, right? Mm-hmm. That's crazy for a diss track to be for 21 weeks. So yeah, I wonder how Drake felt, you know, hearing that on the radio for 21.
I feel bad for Drake, man. This poor guy. It's just never ending.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't feel bad for him.
You don't feel bad for him.
Hey, he did the same thing to Meek Mill. He couldn't live it down.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you could dish it out, you gotta be able to take it as well.
That is true. Yeah. Karma. Yep. So the Grammys go down on Sunday, February 2nd in LA, which is a week before Kendrick takes the Super Bowl stage because he's performing at this year's Super Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So also who got some major nominations was Beyonce. Her crossover album really paid off because she got awarded some love for Cowboy Carter, and she's nominated for some major categories in the Grammy. She's actually nominated for 11 Grammys She is officially the most nominated artist this year, and she is the most nominated artist in Grammy history with 99 nominations since she's been on the scene.
For that country album?
No, since she's been on the scene.
No, but like the 11 for that country album?
Yeah, she got 11 Grammy nominations.
The album wasn't even that good.
Well, the Grammys think different. So
maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there that...
Yes, and we need Beyonce on the show.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Beyonce, I love you.
Please say you love her. So we can.
I said I love Beyonce. I love you. Allegedly. And shout out for all of my success goes to Beyonce. Yeah. And everything that Beyonce has done for Mud Talk Podcast. We appreciate that.
You in trouble.
No, I had to shout that out. We got to give her the credit.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yep. So she's nominated for Best Country Performance for 16 Carriages and Song of the Year for Texas Hold'em and Album of the Year for her album, Cowboy Carter. And that's just three of the nominations out of the 11 that she is nominated for.
So what's her next genre she's going to go for?
I'm really hoping that Beyonce comes back to the R&B side. Because I'm going to just be honest. The country, here's how I feel. After I listened to the country album, it's not really a country album. I just feel like it was Beyonce with a twang. That's how I agree with the country twang, because there's definitely a few songs on there. I was like, this just sounds like a Beyonce song, with just with a little bit more Texas flavor to it.
Yeah.
So it didn't really feel like a true country song. And then I also just kind of feels like just because you threw Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus in the song doesn't make it country. So, but I thought it was dope. I thought it was a good little album. But it's not something that honestly I'm a big Beyonce fan. It's not one of those albums that I would return to and be like, you know what, that was a classic. Does it have some bops on it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I would be like, hey, turn on that Cowboy Carter album. Like, no, we're not doing that. No.
I think she just liked it because it brought her back to her roots. Like, she's from Texas. Yeah. She got to be who she was, just sing Beyonce songs and not have her accent. She could just Texas accent.
I didn't listen to it. Yeah. I listened to probably two songs. I said, I'm cool.
You better thank Beyonce, like too. That. You're about to get canceled.
No, I just got to tell the truth. I just didn't listen to it. It was just...
I mean, how could you not listen to the Texas Hold'em one? It was everywhere.
But you know what, though? It was everywhere, but it wasn't out for a long time. Right. Like, I felt like it was hot for a minute, and then it just, like, went away.
Yeah.
True.
So, I don't know. So, but shout out to Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar for holding it down at the Grammys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's also, we are going to get into Lil Durk. So Lil Durk was charged with two more felonies.
Oh, more?
Yes. He was charged with two additional felonies in count with his murder for hire plot. The Chicago rapper is being accused of conspiracy and using interstate facilities to assist in the assassination of Quando Rondo's cousin.
What the hell is an interstate facility?
I don't know.
Like a truck stop?
Maybe. Maybe a truck stop. Maybe a hotel. A motel.
What's an interstate?
So I don't know
what
is an interstate facility.
I didn't even know that was a crime.
Yeah, we're gonna have to Google
that. Got stopped at one.
No, it says that. Okay, well, hold on. What is it? Let me Google.
So Lil Durk was charged with two additional felony counts in his murder for hire plot on Friday. The Chicago rap star has been accused of conspiracy and using interstate facilities to assist in the assassination of Quando Rondo's cousin. Now, whatever an interstate facility is, I don't quite know.
Wait.
Oh, I get it.
What is it?
Well, it says, this is according to the AI overview on Google. There are multiple federal laws that relate to using interstate facilities to commit a felony, including prohibits the use of interstate facilities to transmit information about a minor under 16 for criminal sexual offenses. Entering or remaining in a carrier facility with the intent to commit a felony, or the use of interstate commerce facilities.
Is it like being in jail and getting a crime?
So was he like transporting things through the mail? Because it says carrier facility.
Yeah, prohibits the use of mail or facility of interstate or foreign commerce. Yep.
So he was
using the mail to like transport whatever he was
trying to do.
Right.
Well, that's not very smart.
Well, he also uses credit cards. Remember we talked about that last time.
He used credit cards to get rental cars.
Let me just put my credit card right down on all this crime.
Yes, or let me use a credit card and rent you a car so you can go and murder someone.
Well, maybe he mailed a check. Maybe that's what it was, because he hired somebody. So maybe he mailed the check to whoever he hired.
I'm sorry. I don't think he writing a check.
But it said,
I don't know. He mailed something.
Well, he was doing something. But Durk and his five co-defendants have yet to enter a plea, and the charges are stemming from the August 22 shooting outside of L.A. gas station close to Beverly Center Shopping Mall. Prosecutors claim Durk funded his Only the Family gang affiliates excursion to California, where they were in a hotel room and stalked Quando Rondo's car before opening fire and killing his cousin, Suave Robinson. So
what's his name? Suave?
Sabier Robinson. Suave. I'm just gonna say it's Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Robinson. Yes. Okay.
So the hit is alleged to be revenge for OTF rapper King Von's shooting death, which occurred in 2020 after a clash with Quando Rondo's crew in ATO. So
yeah. This is all allegedly, by the way. We don't know that he actually mailed anything.
Yeah, we don't know. I'm just reading from the sources and just doing my research, y'all. So this is all allegedly.
Just really try not to.
So
get
please
over
do
here.
Not come for me.
Okay? Dirk. Do not.
Do not.
Do not. Do not. Don't mail me anything unless it's some money.
Don't use no interstate facilities.
I mean, you can illegally. I got Cash App. I got Venmo. If Dirk wants to send me money, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but don't do all that other stuff.
He send money to his lawyer.
Yeah. Well, no, ASAP.
That's true.
So, all right. And in our last piece of news, let's talk about Mr. Lamar Odom. He's kind of been away for a while. If you remember Lamar Odom from the Lakers.
Why is that even news?
Well, I'm about to tell you why. Right. I thought this was so hilarious that I had to use this as tea. So, Lamar Odom, he went on a tour of Real Dolls Las Vegas facility, which is a shop full of totally new female sex dolls hanging on hooks and huge realistic male organs. And Lamar got to touch everything that was in the facility. Now, here's where the tea is. He said that going to the facility almost inspired him to design women's fashion. And he also wanted the dolls. He got a custom-made doll. And it was based on the face of his ex-wife, Khloe Kardashian.
I already knew I was going to say that.
So Lamar thinks that this Khloe-like sex doll would be perfect because he says he can do whatever he wants with her sexually.
That's weird.
Disturbed by this.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird as fuck.
Wait, and why did the article have to say they were hanging on hooks?
Well, because if you watch the clip on TMZ or whatever, they're on hooks and he's going around like touching.
So this is on TMZ.
So he got to go touch the ones that he had to find the one that felt the most like Khloe.
Well, he got
and then designed the face to look like.
I think
Khloe feels
Here's the tea, y'all. The dolls typically go between $8,000 and $20,000.
That's beautiful.
But Real Dolls was able to give him a discount.
Oh. I'm glad he got a discount on sex doll.
He did.
Wow, Lamar.
Now,
even half off is $4,000, yeah. And that's way too much.
You wouldn't pay $4,000 for a sex doll?
I wouldn't, for real.
I don't think he wanted Khloe to be his ex-wife. I think he was still very obsessed.
My question is, after reading this article, I just want to know, like, to say he can do whatever he wants with her sexually, like, what exactly did you want to do, Lamar?
I don't know. I could only imagine.
I don't know. Keep that to yourself.
I mean, all the holes are there. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and he must really want to do some things to be paying between $8,000 and $20,000.
But
yeah,
you know
he's
what?
He's sick.
Good for him, because maybe he feels that this is his best way in life. He can't have the real thing.
Yeah.
Makes it so that he makes good
maybe
choices.
Maybe he knew she was his like peak.
Yeah.
Like, I mean come
she
on.
Was his peak.
Come on, yes. Let's look at Lamar Odom. Like,
she was his peak.
Well, and I was going to say, you know what? I'd rather him spend that $20,000 or $8,000 on a sex doll than crack. Because, you know, he was on drugs.
Yeah. Well, he's still sober, though, right?
He's still sober. So I'd rather him, you know, spend that on a sex doll versus buying drugs.
I just save
bad
it.
For, like, how do they know?
Save it, invest it, put it somewhere.
He did invest it somewhere.
And he's inspired to make women's clothing because he went to the sex shop.
What is his job? Does he have a job? Like, he can't still be eating off that money.
I don't know. Maybe there's Khloe pays him alimony.
Or maybe he still gets money from the Lakers.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody invested it really well for him. And then he had to ask that person, can I get some money for a Khloe sex doll?
Maybe he gets
imagine having that request.
Yeah.
Hey, I need some $20,000. I got a sex doll that looks like Khloe.
That's funny.
I don't know. All right. Well, that was Big T with the tea. Y'all know if I got some tea, I'm going to spill it here first on Mud Talk. So I hope y'all enjoyed that tea for y'all.
Oh, I enjoyed that tea.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it. It was piping hot. All right. Before we get into anything else, we have to shout out one of our season 4 sponsors. We want to say shout out to A Service Heart LLC, man. They do some amazing things in the community, and they are the official sponsor of season 4 of Mud Talk. So they're our sponsor all season long, y'all. So they do some amazing things. You want to get in contact with them, contact them at 419-407-5399. Like I said, they do amazing work in the community. Shout out to Rob Campbell and the entire Service Heart LLC for everything that they do. If you want to learn more about A Service Heart LLC, go on to Facebook at A Service Heart LLC, and that's on Facebook. And you can contact them at 419-507-5399.
Was that on Facebook? I just wanted to clarify.
What? That is on Facebook.
I think it's on Facebook.
Yeah, I said that.
You said it like 3 times.
Well, it's on Facebook. I just don't want people to forget it. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's on Facebook. Get in touch with them. Get in touch with Rod Campbell, him and his team. They do some amazing things, y'all. So tap in and get with them. Mm-hmm. All right. So it has been quite some time since we've done this. Miss Amy has our Mental Health Matters. And she just felt like this would be the perfect time because the election season just ended and we all need a little mental health tips. To get us back on track. So, Ms. Amy, what are we talking about today when it comes to our mental health?
So today I want to talk about the idea of control in a world where it seems like so much is out of control or at minimum out of our own personal control. So obviously the most recent example of what led me to talk about this was the outcome of the election. So, you know, in the days following the election, I'm scrolling on social media and I'm speaking with people, just kind of like hearing them talk about how they felt about the election. And I couldn't help but notice and see the anxiety and stress kind of like washing over people as the reality of the change coming is kind of like hitting people like a ton of bricks, just that there's change coming and it's really kind of sparking the anxiety. And so while I was reading these posts and statuses and hearing people speak about what's to come, all the anxiety was, I feel like, just kind of coming out on social media and coming out through the conversations that people were having. And it reminded me of the importance of understanding control and how it can impact our personal mental health. So for those of us who might be feeling anxiety, uncertainty, frustration, anger, whatever your feeling is about, you know, what's going on. And it doesn't even have to be about election. Mm-hmm. It can be about anything in your life that you're feeling like maybe you're out of control. The key is to recognize the role that control is playing and how we are reacting. So there is just simply so much in our life that is just out of control. So for when we're feeling these heavy feelings, the idea that I'm not in control of these certain outcomes can only make the strong emotions we're feeling even stronger. Mm-hmm. So what we tend to do in these situations when we feel like we're losing control is we try to overcompensate by starting to try to do everything we possibly can to try to control the situation. But that's going to be impossible. So what ends up happening is it becomes this like cycle that increases our anxiety, causes our mental health to decline. And once we realize we can't control it, then we start trying even harder to control it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just this horrible cycle that people find themselves in. And it really does start to impact our mental health really negatively. So if we want to improve our mental health, the first step is when we start to feel this anxiety about a situation, ask yourselves this question. Is this situation in my control or out of my control? And we have to start acknowledging when something is out of our control without trying to take over and change the outcome, especially outcomes you're never going to change. Mm-hmm. So for example, we cannot control the outcome of this election, right? There's nothing we can do. At this point, it's what's happened. We cannot control the people around us, people that might have voted differently than we did, or people that maybe believe differently than we do. But what we have to do is be able to stop and say, this is out of my control. Mm-hmm. The next step is then to ask ourselves, what is actually in my control? And then take steps to figure out how we can function within what we can control. So like these doom and gloom scenarios. I mean, if you guys are on social media, I guarantee you guys have heard the doom and gloom, like this, all of this thing's going to happen, which may or may not happen. Like there's nothing we can do about that. But what's going to happen is we're trying to start replaying these doom and glooms in our head over and over again. It's just going to increase our anxiety. But what we have to do is we have to think about what is in our control and this is what's in our control, how we react, how we respond, and how we treat other people. What's in our control is how we choose to live our lives and who we choose to let share our space in this world and who we choose to not share that space with. If continuing to spend time with somebody in our lives who's causing you stress, anxiety, anger, hurt, jealousy, pick your emotion, you can remind yourself that I can't control how they're treating us. I can't control them.
Yeah.
No matter how much we think we can. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean like the election. It could be a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we allow people in relationships so that we think I can change them. I can control this. If only I was nicer, if only I was more respectful, I was kind. But what you can control is whether or not that person gets to continue to play the role in your story or does that chapter need to end? Maybe we need to take a break from sharing our space with that person for a little while, and that's okay. What we can control is how we choose to treat ourselves. Maybe we need to work on parts of ourselves that we have control over, like your physical health, your wellness, your mental health. Maybe, you know, develop a healthy habit, start some new eating habits, get some mental health care, talk to a counselor. Work on more positive self-talk and less doom and gloom. I mean, that would be really important. What's in our control is what we spend our time doing. If scrolling through social media or watching the news is causing you to feel out of control, you can turn it off. You can log off. You can take a break. And what's in our control is what happens next. And this is where I think people with the election, don't ever underestimate the power of people committed to change, coming together, uniting, and coming up with genuine solutions to make change in a positive way. Mm-hmm. That's how things change. You can control your role that you play in that in the world. And what we can focus on is what you can do to make that change. Mm-hmm. So regardless of the situation that you're in right now, if you're feeling these heavy emotions for whatever reason, you do have the power to improve your mental health simply by asking yourself, what in this situation can I control and what's out of my control? And for the out of control situations, we just have to work on simply acknowledging that and let it go. It might be hard. It might hurt, but that is the first step. You may have to ask yourself literally that question 175,000 times a day.
Yes.
And that's okay. So what I want to do is just to kind of end my mental health matters with just everybody just kind of stop and take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. And just think about, okay, what is one area of my life that I am trying to control that is just out of my control? And then just refocus and figure out what can I control and what do I need to do in order to move forward and focus on that.
Yes.
So that's my mental health matters.
All right, man. Thank you, Amy. That was definitely needed after everything that went down this week, you know, and I know everybody's, you know, anxiety is kind of intense. Some people are angry. Some people are upset. Some people are confused. And I think a lot of times it's just based on, I think everyone is upset because of what we saw 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So now everyone's kind of like, you know, what's going to happen or this is going to be the same thing. And like you said, we can't control,
it.
We can't control it. We can't control what happens within the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. So we can only control what we can control for the next 4 years, but also think about what can I do differently in the next 4 years to make this thing, not a thing, you know,
and you know what? We don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be a thing. And I think that's the biggest, that's the biggest issue is that people are like, this is all going to happen. And it might, and it might not.
Right.
And so the fact is that that's where I'm seeing that anxiety is that people are literally like, this is going to happen. I'm like, you don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen. I think the unknown and change are the two biggest things that cause that anxiety.
Yes.
Which are also the two biggest things in our life that are completely out of our control.
Absolutely.
So just ask yourself every day if you find yourself caught up, and not just the election. Like I said, relationships. I think we do that a lot in relationships. Oh, I'm gonna. Yeah. I want to control this. I want to change this. And when things get out of control, we start to spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you just have to ask yourself: Can I control this? No. Can I control them? No. What can I control? Me.
Yeah. And you can only control the things that are like that are around you. So if you want to, nothing changes if nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And if you can't change the people around you, change the people around you.
Absolutely.
So. You know, I've seen some people who have made, you know, some significant changes, like, you know, just on social media, they're like, you know, I'm not going to be friends with people or associate myself with people who are maybe who may have voted for this person, because that means that you are agreeing with whatever he's feeling and his morals. And that's whatever. But you have that right to say that's not good for my mental health. And so I need to remove you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
To be around people that are like you and they are going to build you up and they are going to bring positive energy. So I definitely get it.
And that is in your control to do that.
Yes, that is in your control to do that. What's not in your control is to dictate and decide what the next 4 years are going to look like. So please do not go up to the Capitol and be trying to cause insurrections and riots and everything else, because you will be in jail.
Well, absolutely. But here's the thing. There are things you can do to change and the things that you can do to control. You don't have to go cause riots. But what you can do is, how about this? If you weren't registered to vote, why don't you go register and vote?
Yeah.
And there are more elections than just every four-year election.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's elections that happen, what, in the fall, spring, summer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Go register to vote. Don't, you know, and if you already registered to vote and you feel like, man, that you didn't go my way, that's okay. Start aligning yourself with people that have your beliefs in the government.
Yeah.
I feel like as far as the presidency, like, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, that's just one big spectrum of, like, politics. What people really need to learn and look up is, like, things in their actual community.
Yes.
And you know, where they're at and what to vote for and the things there. Because that's going to do the most change, like, now.
Absolutely.
For us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want the president to do everything for us. He's not going to do everything for us. He has no fucking idea what we're going through. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, like, not every single...
I don't think he has an idea of anything. But we're just going to... We've committed to not...
We're not talking about the debates, the election.
Yeah, but you're but you're completely right. And here's the thing. I heard a lot of people say, I'm going to vote in this election for the president only. I'm not going to vote for all these other things. And I'm like, but hold on. There were senator seats. There were House seats.
Yeah.
And I would tell people, go educate yourself, because those are the people that are making more decisions that impact your everyday life. So what you can control is educate yourself. Figure out what the issues are. Go talk to local politicians. Go to events like they had at the library that Mud Talk covered, where they had the debates and they had the commissioners talking about their stances. You know, support the people around you, talk to the people around you, educate yourself, register to vote, and not just for presidents only.
Yes.
There's a lot more issues than just that. And honestly, because people didn't vote for that, there was a giant shift in our Senate and House.
Oh, yeah.
And that may and I know a lot of it had to do with the fact that people weren't out there to necessarily vote for that way. Maybe they were.
And I mean, and like you said, the local elections are what really matters, because those people are making decisions every day that affect us every single day, you know?
Yes.
So you know, people who don't vote or they wait every 4 years or whatnot, that's not cool because there's literally something happening every single day. And also, you know, just do your research. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes, you know, don't go vote just because someone is running because they're a Democrat or a Republican, right, or whatever the case may be. Like, actually go and read the bills and laws that are trying to be passed. There were so many issues on the ballot locally. Yes. That I can probably guarantee you that people just either click yes or no and didn't even really read it.
Or they just didn't click anything.
Or they didn't click anything. Mm-hmm. And you're not understanding the jargon that's being used. So that's your time to go and do your research before mm-hmm. you go and say, hey, let me read up on this. Because if you click the button just because you feel like clicking the button, you might change someone's life or our lives forever. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So just
and sure all of research. Those things are in your control. And that's the whole point of it, is that the anxiety and the emotions that we're feeling in our mental health can't be directed just simply because of things that are out of your control.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we can all get into a better mental space and impact ourselves in the future.
Yes. And this is definitely the time to take care of your mental health, not just because the elections, but it's starting to the
holiday season.
Mm-hmm. The sun is going down earlier now and it's getting colder. So, you know, definitely take care of yourself and mental health. And, you know, and not just because of the holiday season, because, you know, whether you lost a loved one or you're grieving that, but the holiday season is just so busy. People, you're shopping and people are coming over and people, you're going shopping, they're being rude and all type of other crazy stuff.
And again,
stuff.
I can't control that.
I
can control me. So if I'm feeling like this isn't a good space, exit the store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I purposely, people are, you going Black Friday? No, I hell am not going Black Friday shopping. I hate the general public. Yeah. So I already know that about myself, and I already know the things out of my control, like people standing too close to me and touching me and grabbing things out of my, I don't, that's out of my control. And I know what I can control is to not go Black Friday shopping.
Yeah, that's why I online shopping.
Black Friday shopping is in my bed, in my PJs.
Yes. Online.
I think only my mom and my aunt still do that.
Right.
And just cause they love to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a tradition.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing that tradition. I don't like people, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, in Jesus' name, get out of here, Satan. Like, that's how I am.
Yeah. I just need to not drink while I do it, because I have a really bad problem of like drinking and then ordering shit and I don't remember ordering it.
And now it just comes up to your house.
I've had like 3 packages show up. So I ordered this like cheese grater off of TikTok and I don't remember doing it.
Oh.
And I ordered an oil sprayer the other day off TikTok. Don't remember doing that either.
Have you used either or?
No. They just showed up on my porch.
Do you plan on using them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, you kind of have no choice but to now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the cheese grater looks sweet. You just turn the thing and it grates the cheese. Do we have comments? I didn't actually.
We do. So we have someone who said the real elections are the local ones.
Yes.
Young Flocko said, got to think about the future. And somebody said, Amy is speaking the truth.
Thank you. Yes. Whoever Facebook user. Yes. 2,075,000.
And also, how are we going to come together if we don't like people?
Well, I just don't like the way general public behave.
Yeah.
I love people.
We can come together, but what do we say here on Mud Talk? If you don't know how to act, keep your ass where you at.
Absolutely.
I like that.
That's from the Yin Yang Twins, actually.
Come on.
So, well, so don't miss. That was not Big T.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I was just saying that, you know, that's what we see on the show. So shout out to the Yin Yang Twins. But they say, if you don't know how to act, keep your ass where you at. So, all right. Before,
wait, is that Greg? My friend Greg?
Yeah, I think that might be Greg.
Why can't we see who these people
I don't
are?
Know why our comments. Well, we can see the comments. It just has Facebook users. So I don't know. We'll go back.
Greg, is that you? My BFF.
Yeah, we'll have to go back later and just respond back to everybody. But so before we get into anything else, like we said, this is episode 50. So we're definitely celebrating. And, you know, we have some favorite moments and memories on the show. Do you have any favorite moments from the first 50
episodes?
So many
favorite memories.
What was one of your favorites?
Oh, God. I mean, I think some of my favorite memories are just some of our. It is Greg. Sorry. Hi, Greg.
Oh, hey, Greg.
BFF. I don't know why it's not showing us that, but thank you for always supporting me and my truth speaking. what is my favorite memories? You go first, because I have so many I can't even think.
Man, I feel like some of the recent ones are starting to become my favorites. Definitely enjoyed doing the. What was it that we did? The Lucas County Commissioners Forum.
Yeah.
That was super dope. So it was dope to be there alongside WT Oil. You know what it is. So that was really nice to do that. And just really get to talk to people and hear their, you know, opinions on just everything that's going on with people we were voting for. Also, one of my favorites. What's been my favorite? We've had so many.
I know.
We've had like really a lot. I would probably say, you know what, Anitra was kind of my favorite one too.
Yeah,
that was really good. With just hearing her background story and everything, and how she, you know, got to where she's at. I will say, I'm not gonna lie. Some of my favorite shows, the last couple ones, have been doing the City Hall live shows.
Yeah, those are fun.
That has been a lot of fun, just doing like the live shows, like out with the City Hall people and interacting with them and playing the games and really just seeing like how Mud Talk, we've taken this podcast just from being a podcast and now it's a live version and how we kind of taken the format and made it to where we can go to different places and, you know, bars and restaurants and like, you know, do it. And just made it interactive. So I would probably say, yeah, like Anitra's episode was really good. Doing the City Hall live show were really fun. We've had
I just like all ones. I just like meeting all the guests. I mean, I've said this before, but like not me being in this podcast and maybe not being in the same circles and community that like, you know, that you run in, that you live in. I've gotten to meet a lot of really cool people that I probably would never meet if I wasn't on the podcast. And I've loved, honestly, every single guest that we've had.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. I like when we can be silly. I like when we can be serious. The one that I was watching, speaking of Greg, my friend that just popped on.
Oh, shout out to Lexi.
Oh, hey, Lexi. thank you for that interruption.
No, she just commented. I'm sorry.
Okay. But I think recently I went back and I watched our Dear Black Man, the first Dear Black Man special number one. And that was where Greg, who was watching, shared his story of his mental health. And I really enjoyed watching that again. And then watching it, the second one, which was the one that we did last February, and just being able to talk about those really important issues. But then we can also turn around and just be super silly and just, you know, talk about some fun and silly stuff too.
Yeah.
I liked our crossover episode. We crossed over with Drunk Unks.
Drunk Unks was a lot of fun.
Because I got to talk about sports and I love to talk about sports.
Yes. On top of like other stuff. And you know what's so funny, speaking of that episode? So Tico, shout out to the Drunk Unks podcast. If you don't listen to them, listen to them wherever you stream your podcast. Also, they're on Facebook and YouTube as well. But he posted a status. Do you remember that we were talking about how he drives so slow? And he's like,
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, and he was complaining again. He was like, for all you people who drive slow, you think you're gonna ride my ass, try to leave your house earlier. And I comment, I was like, so we doing this shit again?
Yes, we are, apparently, because he drives very slow. And I,
yes, he drives very slow. And I'm like, dude, like, you're fucking with my Dunkin' Donuts run right now.
Right, and
like,
my
breakfast sandwich
my
run.
McDonald's order.
You know, like, if I, even if I'm late, if you are not in the way, I can get to Dunkin', get my breakfast sandwich, and still get to work. I may not be there on time. I might be a little bit 5 minutes late. But now because of you, now I'm going to be 15 minutes late because you wanted to drive like an old grandpa.
So you definitely got to go
with
check
two
that
hands
show
on
out
your wheel, and you have a sports car.
Yeah.
He has an Audi. Like, why are you driving slow with an Audi?
Yeah, that's what he said. I told him he shouldn't be able to drive that.
He shouldn't be able to drive. Get you a soccer daddy van if you're going to be driving like that and shit.
I mean, honestly. I think that was fun. I actually also enjoy being able to do interviews like over with like the Charles Wright, which was the R&B legend, was really cool.
That was dope.
That was a good one. I liked it when we had B Wills come and co-host with us. That was a fun
that
show.
That one
ended up being a fun show and a late night show.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Turned into Mud Talk After Dark. Like we were there at the studio to like 11:30 that night.
We just kept going.
Mm-hmm. You know what was another good one for me? Another good one was when I got the chance to do the Gospel on the Green, to do the interview. I think like doing that on location for the first time, that was my first time doing an interview by myself on location.
Yeah.
And it wasn't our crew that was recording it. So for me, like going into that and knowing one, it was, you know, shout out to RC for letting it even be a Mud Talk exclusive. But to like get to work with a different like crew and setup and like being on location. And we filmed some of that at the Lucas County Fairgrounds. We filmed some of that at RC's house. So just like being able to like really network and make that happen was really dope. Mm-hmm. But that was my first time like doing a one-on-one interview by myself and not having like my co-host or, you know, like knowing my camera crew and things like that. So that was really dope. I had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
So, but I'm happy we're here because we got 50 more episodes. We're going to keep this thing on rolling.
50 more, 50 plus.
If you're
somebody who watches and you have like tuned in with Mud Talk, comment what some of your favorite memories were in episodes.
Yep. And if you are just watching for the first time, welcome to the Mud Talk podcast show. Put a comment, you know, down if whoever you want to see on the show, you know, for future episodes and things like that. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and do our commercial break. And we come back, we're going to get in with Jontay Williams because we got some questions that we're going to ask him. And then we got a little game that we play on the show, too.
So, all right, for sure.
You sure? because this game can get a little.
Let's go. Let's
I mean, I didn't it. Put anything spicy, but I can make some stuff up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. So we're gonna go ahead and get into a commercial break. And when we come back, we're gonna tap in with Jonte, y'all. Yeah. So keep it locked. Want to get the word out about your business or organization? Well, the Hottest Podcast now offers the hottest sponsorship packages, starting as low as $15. That's right, $15 will help you get your business and organization out to millions and millions of listeners heard around the world. So make sure you go to the official Mud Talk Facebook page and check out our sponsorship packages right now. All right, what's good, y'all? We are back here on Mud Talk. Before we get into anything else, we got to shout out another sponsor. We want to say shout out to...
Sorry.
We want to say
I'd like to do that out of the commercial.
I love that for you. We want to say shout out to ENT Transportation. You good?
Nope. Oh. I'm sorry.
All right.
ENT, go.
So ENT Transportation. So going somewhere, we got you. ENT Transportation is a low-cost transportation service that offers services to the grocery store, doctor's appointments, work, school, and even airport runs. Services must be scheduled 24 hours in advance. And guess what? They only charge $10 each way.
$10.
$10 each way. So don't drink and drive because you ain't got no excuse when it's only $10 each way. So for more information, tap in at 419-820-0549 or call them at 419-578-8040. And that is ENT Transportation. And they are the one of the official sponsors of the Season 4 Mud Talk podcast show. So make sure you get into it. And we're going to go ahead and put that information at the bottom of the screen because y'all know it's a Friday night. So go ahead and get your pen and your notepad, get your phone. And put it in your notes because you shouldn't be drinking and driving.
No.
It's not cool.
No. Okay?
Especially when it's $10 each way.
Absolutely. So if you're going out tomorrow, because it's 24 hours in advance, right?
Yes, 24 hours.
If you're going out tomorrow, book it now.
Uh-huh.
Get your...
And they do airport runs too.
Yeah.
So if you're trying
to... The airport runs are probably more than $10, I would assume.
Well, yeah, absolutely, I'm sure. But yeah, you know, but for right now, go ahead and get into with them. And that's ENT Transportation.
Love it.
All right. And also, we want to say shout out to all of our Mud Talk listeners, whether you're listening from home or watching from home or you're listening on your phone. Shout out to everybody that's been buying the merch.
Yes.
Make sure you go on to Facebook, Mud Talk Podcast, click the merch link, or you can go onto Instagram and click the link tree, and it'll take you straight to our merch store. Mm-hmm. We just dropped some zip up hoodies.
Yeah.
We dropped some zip-up hoodies. There's some bucket hats on there.
Yes. Get a bucket hat.
Everyone needs a good bucket hat. And then also, you know, if you plan on having a baby soon, we got some onesies up there for the babies.
I want to see a baby in the Mud Talk onesie.
Yes. Invite me to the baby shower because I love me some baby shower meatballs.
Yeah, I'll bring a nice gift.
Yeah. I love me some baby shower meatballs.
You do love that.
I do, man. I love it.
Baby showers always have them.
Oh, man, that's the best part of baby shower.
I like the shredded chicken sandwiches. Those are my favorite.
They have chicken sandwiches. The baby shower?
I mean, at white people, they I don't know.
That's how serendipitous.
Just saying. I don't know.
My favorite memory is the live at the Cousins Halloween Party 2024. Yes, that was such a dope moment. I had a great time talking to everybody at the Halloween party, talking to kids, talking to parents. We got to interview a couple of people about their businesses. And me and Craig got to pass out Jello shots too.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good time. So
did you play the shots song while you did that?
We did not. Oh, no, actually, I'm pretty sure while we're doing it, the Stanky Legs plan.
Oh, that's a great time to take a Jello shot.
And what's just that? Oh, crank that Soldier Boy too.
Well, yeah. Were their children cranking that like at my son's carnival?
They were not Superman in that hole.
Maybe
they
just
definitely don't know what that is.
No, I mean, they don't know what it means, but there's a lot of dancing that might happen.
Yes, mm-hmm. But as long as they're not Superman in that hole, we all good.
I hope not.
So, all right. So we told you guys today that we have a special guest in the building. And, you know, before we tap in with him, we got a little bio we got to read about him.
We do. Okay.
We got to spill the tea.
Let me just pull that up here. Got to get rid of my mental health minutes. All right. So this is Jonte Williams. He is a choreographer and social media influencer. Over his career, he said, I like that. All right. Over his career, he's been a choreographer for the Detroit Pistons from 2013 to 2016. He also choreographed for Next Level Dance Company, who went to the World of Dance in 2015 through 2018 and placed in the championship where he went to LA for the finals. Jonte has also choreographed the music videos Be As You Are remix by Mike Posner, When It Rained by Danny Brown, and Grease by Lainey Wilson. And also halftime shows for people like Mace, Faith Evans, Sean Kingston, B.O.B., Ray J, and TLC. Currently, he's a social media influencer with over 2.1 million followers on TikTok, 1.4 million followers on Instagram, and 450,000 followers on Facebook. So, welcome, Jonte. Thanks for joining us. That scared the shit out of me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, how you feeling, Jonte?
I feel good. I'm sauce all on me. Y'all feel good.
Is that margarita?
Yeah, come on.
Is that lifesaver
give
margarita?
Give me one margarita. Wait, hold on.
Are you going to? Because like we can totally wait, video all that.
This is X.
It's not X, you're right.
We haven't hit that part of the show yet.
No.
So, we thank you for coming in, man. Thank you for stopping by. But before we get into anything else, man, what's been going on with you?
Yikes. That's putting me on the spot. I guess just a lot.
I've been
dipping my hands into a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I'm a brand ambassador for King of Buds. Shout out King of Buds dispensary. The best place to shop for your tree products.
I mean, you can just say weed. I mean,
good. Okay, for all your best legal weeds and edibles and your wax and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? That's family right there, man. I really rock with them hard. Like you just said, I choreographed a music video. Actually, is a country artist, and Lainey Wilson's like one of the biggest female country artists, if not the biggest female country artist right now. And I got an opportunity to choreograph her music video,
okay,
which dipping into country was different, but she wanted a little bit of hip hop, a little stank on it. So we did that, performed at the Brooklyn Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
The next day we were in People magazine and stuff like that. So that's cool. Other than that, just like social media, really I use my platform to basically shout other people out and give them a platform, you know, because just because you're good at stuff doesn't mean like social media actually like pushes you out when you're that good. You know, sometimes you need, you know, an extra little push, and some people need that for motivation and everything. Not like doing that. Mm-hmm. So, and then next week I have CreatorCon, which is something new that I just found out. It's their third year, but it's in Detroit next week. And I'll be on the panel.
Okay.
Talking, you know, all the creator things like algorithms and things like that, because I really, I really understand those things when it comes to algorithms and posting and, you know.
Now, before we get into all of that, how did you get into, you know, choreographing, dancing, and everything like that?
Well, shoot. Okay, so I'm older than I look. Most people think I'm in my 20s, which blows my mind. Because I feel like I look like I'm in my 30s, but maybe it's because I feel like I'm in my 30s. But I graduated in 07 from Boucher High School out here.
Okay.
I played sports, bro. I was in show choir. I was like the real life Glee.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I really play sports. I play football. I wrestled. I ran track. You know, I lettered in all three, but I was in show choir, honors choir, district honors choir. Like, I did it all.
Oh, man, then, sounds just like me.
And then I grew up, you know, I grew
up. Did you guys battle choir?
We didn't have that out here.
No, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
Isn't that like what Glee was? Or like yeah, a battle, like, well, I'm going to sing this.
Glee was kind of just like a show choir, and they traveled and performed.
Yeah.
And that's what we had. Like, we had a show choir at Bowser, mm-hmm. and I did that. Now, when I went to college to run track. I wanted to run track really bad, you know, because I wanted to be in the Olympics, but I don't know what the hell happened. All of a sudden, like, Jabberwockies came out.
Yeah.
And it was America's Best Dance Crew. I'm like, that shit is cool. I want to do that. And I'm like, I got a little bit of rhythm, a little something, something. So I started dancing, and like, then I came home because I had a daughter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I have a junior in high school, y'all. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And shout out Brooklyn. And
hey, Brooklyn.
Shout out all three of my kids. I have all girls, Malia, Hayden. Had a kid, and then a woman named Tanisha Shellman,
Touch a Dream
Dance Studio.
Yep.
She gave me my first shot at teaching. So I'm their former hip hop choreographer. I was their first hip hop choreographer.
Okay.
But at the same time, they gave me opportunity not only to teach, but actually be a student, because I was like still 20 mm-hmm. and you can perform till you're about 25, depending on what competition. Honestly, you can still perform in the senior category.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I got to perform, and I learned the performance aspect on top of learning how to teach and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it wasn't until I danced for the Pistons. That's when really it like changed.
Okay. So like their dance team?
Yeah, well, okay. So they have an all-girls dance team.
Okay.
Right? So that's DPD. That's Detroit Pistons Dancers. That's the all-girls. Then they had the cheerleading squad.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had they're going to be mad at me for forgetting this.
Just blame it on the lifesaver margarita.
They flip off trampolines and dunk.
Okay, so like the halftime.
Yes,
show.
But they're called, guys, forgive me, because some of my boys are.
Do you
on
want
there,
me to Google
but
it?
But they literally flip like stuff on trampoline. Then we have parkour.
So it's part of the halftime show.
Yeah, well, it's just part of their own thing. It's not even just a halftime show, because in the NBA you would think, oh, they just use them for halftime shows. No, there's like 2 minute timeouts, like everything. The girls dance probably about 10 to 12 times a game, where we'll dance maybe one to two, and then the cheerleading squad to come out, and then so it's just Pistons entertainment in general.
Okay.
So it's a whole like entertainment scene. Yeah. So when I got on there, I was just only a dancer.
Okay.
But then they gave me opportunity to choreograph, and the first person I got to choreograph for was Faith Evans.
Okay.
And then I did that, did my thing, and then so I dabbled as a dancer and a choreographer through all that.
Well, that's what's up. And I know the Detroit Pistons just recently added a House of Jit as part of their team now.
Dude, those are my people. Shout out Gabby, it's Queen of Jit, Michael Manson, the King of Jit, with James and ASAP, and my boy Marcel and Cheese, everybody, like Detroit dancing. I would have never been the choreographer I was if I didn't go to Detroit. And the only reason I went to Detroit is because of So You Think You Can Dance.
Okay.
I did So You Think You Can Dance.
Well, let's get into that.
That's the show.
Right? Yeah, that's the show.
How you started it? Like you started with that or that?
I started with Touch a Dream, and then like with me, I felt like, shoot, my dream can be touched. Like it was possible, because I was watching the progress that was happening and realized it wasn't just like a talent, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can dance, not everybody can choreograph. People who can choreograph are really talented, and dancers know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that can swear just because they're good, they can choreograph in its ass. It's trash.
Yeah.
I'm actually very blessed, and I have like hella YouTube videos. I mean, you can look up Next Level Dance Company or Next Level Detroit World. Mm-hmm. You'll just see the pieces. You'll see me. I'll have my little mohawk. I'm the shortest man on the stage. I'm 5'3". Y'all know how I roll. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they do, but now the art.
Now we know.
Now you guys know. I'm a short man, but So You Think You Can Dance. I actually auditioned season 9, New York.
Okay.
I got to do my solo. It was a no. Then season 10, they moved it to Detroit. It was like, man, that's in the backyard for real. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Detroit's right there.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, let's go to auditions. So I never let a no like tear me down. I only said apply it. And I learned that from sports in high school where it was like, hey, you can only, you can try it and you can go up or down. Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to do? And for me, when I'm in the dance game and I'm 19 years old, 20 years old, and I just learned everything I'm learning and I still got much, much more to learn. The only thing I can do is take criticism and apply it. Mm-hmm. So when I got that first no, it was like, cool, I'm coming back and I'm going to go further. So then the second year I got to Vegas, but got sent home the first day.
Okay.
You know, and then I'm like, cool. So went to Chicago. Boom. Made it to Vegas. Same old, same old. They're knowing you now because they start to recognize you. Yeah. Producers, everybody.
Yeah.
They're knowing you now. And I have one of those personalities where I get comfortable quick. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just silly. You know what I'm saying? We were just parking lot pimping. You know
we were. We were totally parking lot.
Literally parking lot pimping.
So you know how that goes. And I did that and went further another day. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and did it. Season 12, they came back to Detroit, the Detroit auditions. It was big. I was on there. I had my segment shown. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Vegas, and it was close. But we didn't get there. But people have to learn. It's not the, oh, you have to get there type thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
It's once you're there and you're seen and recognized, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I use that enough. So it was just another thing on the resume. You know, I was already doing World of Dance on top of doing Energy National Dance Competition where I work with dance moms.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So like the show dance.
Yeah.
Moms?
So like Kathy.
Yes.
From Candy Apples. They're in Canton, Ohio.
Yes.
Okay.
So I went there. I've guessed.
So you're a Kathy fan and not what was the other lady?
Abby Lee. I am a Kathy fan. I'm a big Kathy
You're
fan.
Like.
And I met Kathy.
Team Kathy, not Team Abby.
And I met Kathy through Gina Dudash, who's Mary Dudash's mother.
Okay.
Who was on Dance Moms, and they have a studio in Gross Hill, Michigan.
Okay.
And it's so crazy how everybody's kind of like.
Sounds like a small world of dance.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, and you never know that. So it's just like every door opened another, you know, because I can say, So You Think of Dance opened Pistons. Pistons opened up Globetrotters. Globetrotters opened up World of Dance that opened up music videos that opened up.
So you're also a Globetrotter.
Well, I wasn't a Globetrotter. I was on tour with Globetrotters and I danced with them.
Okay.
So, but the only thing with Globetrotters that I couldn't stand is I really liked it. It was repetitive. It was kind of like a script. You do your script. It's kind of like being on Broadway or something, but not for real.
So it was more like a show.
It's a show.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, everything's scripted. I mean, are they going to make the shot every time? No. But you kind of know what it's going to be. You know what prop has to be here. And I didn't like dancing at the beginning and then being like prop master after. Like, okay, you got to set this up for this little stunt. And this.
So you only got to dance once, and then you had to be like the basically on the stage manager.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like you get so much slack, and it's like it's kind of like, I don't want to say a flunky, because flunkies don't get paid like that. It is good pay. Yeah. It was good pay. And mixed with per diem, it was good. But it's good if you don't. If you don't see yourself moving further with what you really love and care about.
Okay.
And if I would have stayed at the Globetrotters, I wouldn't have made So You Think You Dance season 12 because I would have been on tour still.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like I said, every door opens another. And a lot of people have to know what it's like to say no.
Yeah.
Some people have that fear of saying no
because
people don't know their worth. And I've had to learn that a lot in my
life
and even still right now.
And sometimes you have to say no to prove your worth. Like, no, like, this is not acceptable. I'm not taking that. I'm not I'm not going to be content with this. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's okay to walk away from something to go try to pursue or achieve something bigger.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. So somebody has a question. Coco Poppy.
That's a great name.
I love that name.
What's up, Ray?
Oh.
That's actually not his name?
No, that's his name.
Coco Poppy?
Yeah, that's
Coco
his name.
I want to say that over in a Coco Poppy.
That's his
so
name.
Sexy. I love it.
Say it in your sexy
Coco
voice.
Poppy.
You hey, listen, you better stop. You're a likey. He's going to be like, hey, you see how she's calling me Coco Poppy?
I will say it over and over again.
Hey, what'd he say, though?
He said, what's your favorite dance or performance to date?
Flowrider.
Easy. Okay.
I lied.
Wait, Flowrider, like the just the musician in general, or what's the?
Yeah, no. Doing the halftime with him. was fun. But I'd probably say I can't lie, T-Pain's probably the best.
I would agree. T-Pain is fire.
T-Pain's fire. Yeah. And his energy when you perform on him is just fire. It's just a whole different level.
I felt the same way when I performed with T-Pain. I felt, no. But he can sing. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like I was, when I heard him. Yeah, when I heard him off auto-tune, I was like, damn, he can sing.
I don't know why people act like he can't.
Well, because he auto-tunes everything.
No, but he, you know, he put out an album that didn't have
auto-tune. I know he did, and that's when I heard it. I was like, this is...
But how do I say this? You can still tell if someone can really sing through auto-tune, though.
Yeah.
And when he sang, I didn't feel like, even though it was a lot of auto-tune, that was his thing. That was his niche. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I hate that Jay-Z came out with one song and people hopped on the bandwagon. That just shows like why social media is the way that it is right now. People see one thing and run with it.
Yeah.
And I'm a big person who is like an advocate for like, don't believe everything you see on the internet. As many people as I run around and go around and am like literally next to, I see so much phoniness and I see fake people and then I see the real people. And a lot of the real people don't get credit, man, because a lot of people are scam artists.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
life scam artists. They're friend scam artists. They are like social scam artists. They make you believe their stuff that they're really not.
Yeah.
You know? And I just, that type of energy is like where I sway. I think that helped me grow as big as I am. When I started pushing like, When I started pushing people aside, say it again for me, Mama.
See, that's why we're laughing.
I told you. I told you. I see.
I got you. I'll record it later for you.
Oh man, I'm gonna FaceTime you later.
I was gonna say we didn't mean to laugh. Sorry, we can see the comments on our side.
I was thinking that just popped up, and I was like, I cannot.
He play too much. He played too much.
Well, I play too much too.
He fired.
Yeah, I play too much.
So for all our people watching at home, we see the comments way before y'all do. So. That is why we were laughing.
So when you work with celebrities, who is like not talking about their talent wise, who's been your favorite celebrity to work with just as a human?
It's a tie. I have a tie. It's Lil Dicky. He's funny. Dave is a funny individual.
Lil Dicky's name is Dave. Dave Dicky?
No.
Is that
that's Lil the Dicky? It's the white rapper.
Yeah, I got stuck in Chris Brown's body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
He has a song. I got stuck in Chris Brown's body.
You know that's I woke up Chris Breezy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's and Lil, then the other Lil guy,
Dave Dicky.
Lil Dicky Dave.
Lil Dicky Dave.
Dave, she don't mean it.
I don't mean it. Dave.
And then Lainey Wilson, probably.
Okay.
Now, she was actually a pleasant surprise.
Now I was going to ask you about that. Because you do mostly hip hop.
Yeah.
Right. How was that choreographing for a country artist?
Easy.
How so?
It was easy because of the style. Okay. So I feel like I can dance to anything. Actually, I don't feel like I can dance to anything. Mm-hmm. I really can't.
I'm going to test random. You later. I'm going to find something random and I want to see.
Random, it's going to be too easy. It's too easy.
Okay, I'm going to find
it. That's actually not a challenge. That's actually like a breeze. Like you're just going to just let me show off. But okay. The style of it was very Southern. It had some soul to it.
Okay.
So it was very backyard barbecue type.
Okay.
So it made it easy. That's why I say it was easy. As far as like the aspect of it, because you don't see choreography ever on country music.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know we were performing it until like literally we shot the music video. She's like, I got a performance, a sold out concert in Nashville. Cause that's where we shot the music video.
Okay.
You guys want to perform? It's like, what the fuck are you going to say? No.
You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, let's do it. But the fact of the matter is she loved it.
Okay.
And the fact that she loved it, I said, okay. Cause I just go off a feeling when it comes to choreography.
Yeah.
I won't say it's based off of freestyle, but it's based off of like, how are you feeling? Like, how does it make you feel? And you have to be able to kind of embody the artist.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And even though I'm not a woman, as a hip hop choreographer, former, I've had more female than male. So they had to meet me in the middle. You guys give me all the power of a man, and I will give you choreography like a female still. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'll meet you in the middle. So all that feminine stuff I can do as well.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why people are like, oh, John Tazy doing it. Listen, I'm versatile. Don't hate.
And get these points.
Because you mad at Prince for hitting high notes and he can still sing as low as your daddy and still get your mama.
And Prince also had his ass cheeks out and was still pulling bad women. Come on, that's all I gotta say. He did.
How quickly did she catch on to it? Because like you said, country doesn't really do a lot of choreography.
Nah. It was still tough.
It'd be like when you teach me later how to dance.
But I always put little nuances in it that are catchable.
Yeah.
Because you have to know how to do that for artists. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And one thing that was tricky was not seeing an artist dance before that doesn't really dance. It's like, okay, is even this thing that might seem easy for me, like even hard? You know what I'm saying? So that was the tricky part of it, for sure.
What's your thought process when you're choreographing for someone?
I listen to the music a million times.
Okay.
I literally have to know the music inside and out. I feel like that's the fair thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, knowing the lyrics, knowing the beats, knowing the beats that you don't know that are in there. You know what I'm saying? Because even in music, there's always, I'm doing like two things at once, but I'm still talking to you. For example, like Flo Rida, right? Flo came in and like when he came in for the halftime show, he only liked mine and somebody else's stuff. Mm. And sometimes the artists will come in and they're like, no, TLC?
Divas.
What? You better do their stuff how their stuff was in the music video.
Yes.
Yeah. If you thought you were about to choreograph something new, you were sadly mistaken.
They wanted to like chase them. The waterfalls. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, I can do that.
We're doing creep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to because they're in it. Yeah. They know that's what their fans like. They know that's what they do. And if they don't, sometimes they're in that element where it's like, so they're like, are you trying to ruin me or something like that? And some people aren't as good as you think they are.
Yeah.
So in that sense, they have to do what they know.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't Chris Brown.
That's true.
Chris Brown can have a clean slate, learn the choreography. Chris Brown,
that man can dance in some gray sweatpants. That's all I have to say. I will tell you what.
I've been to plenty of concerts, and I will say, hands down, this past concert, I just went to Chris Brown's concert in Boston, literally right after Boston won the NBA Finals, and he had a concert right out there, and it was the best concert I've been to.
Yeah.
Not been to. I mean, name them. I've been to plenty of concerts. It's the best concert I've ever been to. That man is an amazing performer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He is amazing. And he
makes choreo look so easy, too, because it's definitely not.
Because I feel like I could just Chris Brown it up, man, minus the sweatpants and all the other goods.
Look, once upon a time, I'm telling you.
When I used to dance with House of Adonis, literally the hardest choreographer's class I ever took, we used to go to Monsters every year.
Yep.
And
Monsters of Hip Hop.
Yes, we took Sean Banks' dance class. My boy. I'm like, Sean, you are trying to kill us. So
Sean's tough still.
He is tough. But the thing I love about Sean, though, no matter whose video I watch, I can point out, like, Sean choreographed that.
Yep.
He has just a certain ATL style that is absolutely so amazing. And one of my favorite, I'll never forget, one of my favorite pieces that he choreographed, he did Normani's Wild Side video. Mm-hmm. And that shit was fire. Like during COVID,
it made me obsessed with the song too.
No, like that ass serious. Obsessed.
I might listen to it every day multiple times.
Like let's skip the Cardi part and let this keep going. But he did during COVID, he did a masterclass on that video. And I think I watched that live like 1,000 times. First of all, it's COVID. I ain't got nowhere to go. Second of all, this is a free class that you're giving us. Like it was really dope. So shout out to Sean Bankhead, man. He's really dope.
There's a lot of things I don't know anything you guys are talking about. There's a whole world out there that
Time where Red was like Fruity Loops?
I don't know. All I know is I don't know a lot about the world of dance. I watch Dance Moms. Yes. I know that much.
Yes. So somebody asked, we got a question. They said, how do you keep your mental health together in such a judgy career?
Sometimes it's tough. Yeah. Honestly, probably the beginning of it. You know, I was always a person, people would say, especially, I'm telling you, people would say, Jonte doesn't really care, like, what people really say.
Yeah.
But I always used to say that, but sometimes that's not really true. I remember one time, I thought I could handle everything, right? Mm. Till I started going viral on Facebook. Mm. And on Facebook, they'll tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with me, I've always been like, even though I've been an athlete, when I'm not in my athletic stage, mm-hmm. meaning like when I'm not dedicated to sports, bro, I'm chubbier. I got boobs. I got all that. And people don't believe that because how I dress and shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I know how to put shit together to, look good. Yeah. Like, for real. I do. But there's insecurities I have, and like one time they just exposed it, and I just caught myself going through every comment and deleting them. And then the Jonte part like kicks in where it's like, dude, you're healed.
Yeah.
You know what you got to work on. You know what you have. And I do. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you put yourself on these apps,
yeah,
that you leave yourself vulnerable and exposed to. Mm-hmm. Literally anything what anybody wants to say. So either get thicker skin or mm-hmm. get off the internet.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, I just had to have thicker skin.
You really do.
And I have more confidence than I'm telling you. I'll put somebody next to me that you think got the most confidence. I'm telling you, I probably got more confidence. Like, just because there's nothing you can't tell me I can't do. I'm 5'3". Okay. And I was all district football player. You know what I'm saying?
What position did you play?
I played corner.
Okay. That's what my son plays.
And then kick return. I was really good kick returner. Mm-hmm. I was actually a fumbler.
So they, like, didn't give me the ball.
No. My sophomore year, I would tell you, I couldn't catch my freshman year. I had hands my sophomore year, but couldn't hold on to the ball. And by my junior year, I was good. And that's shout out to my stepdad, man, because my stepdad literally sat outside with me. Like, I'll never forget. After my freshman year, I was so mad that I had, like, stone hands that we literally worked every day. And I tell people, bro, I work hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, I didn't start dancing until I was 19.
Mm. Yeah.
Most people that I'm dancing against dance since they came out of their mom.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of people think I've been doing that. And even though maybe I might have danced at some family house parties, I wasn't a dancer. Mm. I didn't have dance class. I didn't have training. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I became a professional dancer by 22 just speaks to how hard that I trained actually in high school. Mm-hmm. From everything I've done ever. I played the saxophone too. Like, people don't know, like, I have so many talents. Mm. I've been blessed with talent. What I'm not blessed with in height, I'm telling you, I make up for it in colors and talent. Yeah. And I know a lot of people say they are, but I promise you, I can sing, I can dance, I can rap, I can act. I mean, my muscle memory is insane. Mm-hmm. Don't go to Dave and Buster's and think you're going to play games against me, because I'm telling you, I'm telling you, it's literally insane. And I'm very grateful for that, honestly, mm-hmm. man. And I have a mom who, like, have one of those things where, like, I could never give up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't give up. Now, she might take me off some shit,
yeah,
because I ain't acting right. Okay. Yeah. I've always had a struggle with women. Okay. I always have. I don't know if my mom is still watching. You know what I'm saying? She's probably in bed because they got, tomorrow, Saturday, they didn't got no church. She should stay up and watch this. But what I'm saying,
you can tell us if what he's saying is true or not. If your mom is watching.
But my mom would tell you, like, she had me in the books. Good. She had me, like, dedicated to what I did. I did martial arts growing up, you know. But a lot of people don't know, my mom had me at 14 years old. Mm-hmm. My mom had me at 14 years old. My mom chose not to be a statistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember food stamps. My dad never paid child support. You know what I'm saying? My mom had me at 14. My dad was 17. My mom married my stepdad when I was 8 years old. They're still married. I'm 35.
Wow. Shout out to that.
My mom's different. You know what I'm saying? She graduated top in her class in high school and in college. Mind you, she had me in junior high.
Good for her.
A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
And so now, I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but Mom's House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom is one of the head ladies over there. My mom is Dorena Webb. That's my mom.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she helps those young women. I mean, and they hook them up. Yeah. Counselors, lawyers, you know, Christmases, mm-hmm. like everything. So I was lucky enough to not have a mother that had let me quit or a one that tolerated bullshit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I had one of those where it was like, I used to complain about her, and everybody's like, your mom's so cool. I'm like, shoot, you want to switch? You know what I'm saying? But now, you know, being older, man, you know, they always say that you get older, you look at it different.
Yeah.
And now that I have three daughters of my own, it's like,
yeah,
shit, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
What is that like having three girls?
Bless your soul.
That's the answer.
I don't know how you do it.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Can we pause really fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can take a commercial
break. Guys, I just need 3 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to take a commercial break.
Thank you. We just might just keep talking while you don't
need Yeah. Give me 3 minutes.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Yeah,
look at this. Live
something exciting. Something exciting's happening. I don't know what it is.
I hope it's good.
He's going to dance himself out of there.
I hope he spills the tea when he comes back.
I hope so.
I don't know. Well, while he's going to take a little break, I guess. So, Miss Amy, what were some more of your favorite moments from Mud Talk? 50 episodes.
So obviously I love all the blooper ones. I think those are always really fun.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sometimes you say things and things happen, things come out of our mouths that maybe shouldn't. Yeah. Things break.
Shout out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to that good old stool.
You know what? I'm never gonna live that down.
You're never gonna live that down. I'm never gonna let you live it down.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And it was a total accident. So sorry.
What else? I mean, I had a blooper too. Remember, I asked the Harlem Globetrotters the same question twice.
You did. And that was because you were drinking.
Yeah. He gave me. Yeah. We don't do that anymore. But he
as I'm drinking.
Well, today is a celebration. It's a celebration. Yes. Yeah. But he gave me the human resources ever. Like, well, per my last answer.
And I know, it's
like,
hilarious.
I was like, but here's the thing though. When it came out, I was like, fuck. Too late. It was already out there.
Well, in my face, that like I'm looking at you. I was over here, like,
are you serious right
what?
Now?
Yeah. What are you doing? Why would you do that?
Yeah, that was definitely crazy. But yeah, I'm excited for 50 more episodes that we're going to be having.
You said 50 plus.
50 plus, yes. You know, we're definitely gonna get to the 100 for sure. But yeah, make sure y'all tune in and tap in, man. Every other Friday night, you can always listen to us on the go. We are on all streaming platforms. We're on Spotify, we're on Pandora, we are on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM radio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can stream your podcast. And make sure you do that, man, because you know we're trying to get that number
right now.
Yeah, do it right now.